This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 142. The truth burns like gin.
It does.
This is Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming tech gadget and anime podcast. I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And welcome to yet another episode of our podcast.
Hi, everybody.
How you been?
I'm assuming you guys are doing all really good. And those of you who aren't, cyber hug.
Yes. Feel the embracement.
Of the cyber hugs with the Z.
Does that mean it's cooler if it has a Z?
Yes, it is. Like four times cooler if it has a Z.
Really? Who told you that lie?
I made it up.
Was it somebody on the internets?
Well, I'm on the internets, so yes.
See, the internets. Yeah, I'm just gonna leave that alone.
But you know what's cool without a Z?
What?
Our website.
You're just trying to figure out a way to put that Z on there.
That was just me being silly.
Okay, because it doesn't belong. The website is www.electricsisterhood.com. There's no Z in there.
Coms.
But, yeah, there's no .coms. I mean, we are a .com, but we're not a .coms. But just in case you can't remember our long address, you can use a short address, which is?
esh.mobi. That's esh.mobi. The short address will bounce to the long one, and you can check out any articles that have been written within the week. If you have any questions about those articles, or just questions for us, you can use the Hit Us Up link. If you're not listening to us on iTunes, you can check us out there. You can plug us into any RSS reader, any podcast search engine, and we're also a part of the All Games Network.
That's right. You can find episodes of the ESH podcast airing weekly on Monday nights on the All Games Radio Network, found at allgames.com. Like I said, Monday nights, 9:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Pacific time. You can catch our show as well as some really fun entertainment over there, like Super Happy Fun Time Show,
Dead Pixel Live,
Ultimate Quest,
Evil Avatar,
Video Game Outsiders.
Don't forget Bobby Blackwolf's show and Friday Night Gaming.
There's just so much really, really, really just damn fun stuff that you can listen to. With some new things in the works.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are moving and shaking over there. People have different roles. And it's just really a great place to meet with the community. So make sure when you stop by that you tell them that the chicks from Electric Sisterhood sent you. Because we like to get a little bit of credit to let them know that, yeah, these people, they're rolling with us.
Because we roll all games deep.
What? What?
I didn't know how many people there were, so I didn't want to say the wrong number.
Yeah, we're deep. The posse is impressive.
Oh, wait, Ninjas, I totally hate to interrupt our business spiel, but I have a tangent that I need to talk about right now.
All right, go ahead.
Well, now, we all know how much, you know, we like the shows over at All Games, and how I tend to have a running, I don't want to say that word, tend to show up on a certain show more often than other shows.
Pretty much, yes.
Yes. Mm. Well, apparently the host of that show...
Why are we being all cryptic?
Because I'm going to get to the point. Get to the point.
All right. I hope you get there quickly.
This particular host made a claim that all you and I do on this show, on the S show, is talk about how much I want to be on that and how much I love it and all that crap. And I want to tell everybody now.
Wait, whoa, time up. How much you want to be on that?
As in him and his show. Yeah. And I want to correct it right now that I love DPL. It is a great show. They are great hosts. They really know what they're doing. I enjoy listening to them. And that's about it. Everyone needs to stop with the whole, oh, Panda and Derek. No. Not now. Mm. Not at E3, because there's a big running gag that the reason why I begged Eshmom to buy my plane ticket was so that I didn't have to ride in Derek's car to E3, because I'd be so taken by his animal magnetism that I would just succumb to him. And let me tell you, I would not. That's not why.
Okay. Wow. It's like a soap opera. I let you run around the internets by yourself, and you come back
and
with all this drama.
This is what happens to me.
This is what happens. You need a chaperone on the internet.
I do. But just so everybody knows, it's not because I'm worried about what would happen, because nothing would happen on the car ride. DPL needs to stop tripping. That's all I'm going to say about that.
They're just trying to get you going. See, if you buy into it, they will.
Well, no one's saying it about you.
Oh, that's because, one, I don't float around the community as much as you do because I don't have the time. It's pretty much only on Fridays that I can float around, and, you know, the only thing that jumps off on Friday is Friday Night Gaming. So, you know.
I just wanted Bob, to be the air.
Bobby would not play me like Derek would play you.
I'm just saying that. I just wanted to clear the air with our Esh listeners, because I know the hard.
The air is not going to be cleared. You just realize that you've just given them all kinds of sound bites. I mean, this is going to escalate. You realize you've just put, like, you've taken the gasoline and you've doused the fire, and now it's going to roar back up. Because what's going to happen is everyone's going to be like, Derek, she was over there, and let me say, thou partestest too much. She was like, no.
But it's so true, though. Mm. I'm being serious.
I know, but see, you should have kept it to yourself.
You're my sister, and you need to back a sister up.
I'm backing you up. I'm just saying, don't be surprised when this is not the end of it.
Goddamn mother.
Space Jam, mother.
Anyway, I needed to get it out.
Do you feel better?
This might just be me changing foot in mouth, but at least I feel good about my
You're
decision.
You're changing the left for the right.
Yes, I am, ma'am. Mm. Let us continue.
All right, let us. So, as Panda was saying, you could use the Hit Us Up link on our website to send us questions or comments on any of the things that we've written about, and we typically try to get to them in the show. We got yet another fun question this week that I really enjoyed from Bootleg Pete. What's up, Pete?
I really enjoy his questions. He gives us a multitude of things to talk about and think about.
Yeah, I like this. I like this a lot. So,
but shouldn't we be thinking before we're saying? I think I get those mixed up all the time.
You kind of do sometimes get the priority order incorrect.
Damn it.
But, you know, it's a work in progress, Panda. Nobody's going to fault you for it. At least right now. But Pete had a couple of really good questions. Unfortunately, we just have time to get to one today. So the one that I picked was, Bootleg asked how we feel about Western RPGs like Fallout and Elder Scrolls series. Basically, in the question and explanation, he goes on to talk about how he played lots of JRPGs, which are Japanese RPG games, but with his 360 and playing games like Oblivion, Fallout 3, and Mass Effect, that he's ended up finishing all of those. But he hasn't finished a JRPG since he got a next-gen console, which he found to be very weird. And so he wanted to know, are Western RPGs the new standard for the RPG genre? I think it's a valid question, because if you take a look right now at what is available on the RPG side of things for the next-gen consoles here in North America, we're now overwhelmed with Western-based designed RPGs and not so much for the Japanese ones. I mean, you take a look at things like your Mass Effect, which has been ridiculously popular, and Mass Effect 2 is on the way. You take a look at Oblivion and how well it's done, Fallout 3 and what it's done, you know, and in all honesty, how lackluster your Final Fantasies are, or at least have been, 11, I'm looking right at you, on the next-gen
consoles. I did not like 11. 11 was a fuck in the ear.
Yeah, and so compared to
No offense to those who like being fucked in the ear.
Between you and your partner. That has nothing to do with us.
That's right. But wouldn't that clog your brain?
I don't. Well, depends on, you know, be good.
And that would be gross because then you die, and then they'd do an autopsy, and they'd be like,
Panda.
Yeah.
That's another podcast.
Okay, sorry.
No problem. Come back to the topic. Now, you play more RPGs than I do.
Yes, I do.
So I'm really curious as how you interpret the question, because for me, it's a no-brainer. I mean, I didn't even pick up Lost Odyssey.
Right.
Talk about brain fuck.
Well, but Lost Odyssey is a J.
I know. But
all of my gameplay in that tip has always been Japanese. I haven't played Fallout. I haven't played Mass Effect. And I haven't played Oblivion. I always hear people talking about them. I'm like, I should check that out.
Look, you need to play Fallout and you need to play Mass Effect.
You're supposed to send me your fucking Halo 3. Why don't you just send me Halo 3 and Mass Effect, bitch?
Did you send me back my Gears of War?
No.
Oh, I think we've answered the question.
But didn't you tell me that if I sent you that you would mail out Halo 3? You know, my thing?
Yeah. And that thing that you sent me was so that you could go to blah, 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 blah. So once my game comes back, we can exchange the other. You know, I'm like Blockbuster Video. You can't take out until the other one comes back
in. Okay, fine.
Otherwise, there are fees. Do you really want to pay the fees?
I get so much flack because everyone's like, hey, why don't you play Gears? And I'm like, I don't have Gears 1. Like, did you have Gears 2? I'm like, I'm borrowing Gears 2 from the sister. Like, but you've never played Gears 1. I'm like, this is correct. Do you ever have that problem where you go into the second game and not go to the first game and then you get the heat for it? Because I'm getting some serious heat.
That's happened to me a couple of times because there have been a few games where I've kind of held off on the hype just because I'd been burned previously to picking up a game until, you know, the sequel came out. And in trying either a demo or reading enough in various gaming magazines that I was convinced to pick it up. So, for instance, like, I didn't start the Silent Hill series with the first game.
Nope, I started with two.
I did start Devil May Cry with one, but I did not start the SSX series with one. I started with two, and then I went back and got one. You know, so same thing with Frequency and Amplitude. I started with Amplitude, went back and got Frequency. So I have had people, though, in my general circle, because at the time that I was picking up most of these things, there weren't huge communities yet on the internet for gaming. But I did catch a little bit of flack from people who were like, well, how can you pick up this game and not have played the first one? And my answer always was, because they don't always continue the story in the sequel. Sometimes they start a completely new story. And I don't feel like I'm missing anything. Like, with something like a Gears...
Right.
I promise, Pete, we'll come back to your question. But with something like a Gears, it's better to have played the first one and then play the second one so that you understand the story. Because it is a continuation of story. Do I think that you lose a whole lot out of not playing the first game all the way through before you pick up the second one? No. I think that you'll enjoy the game just as much if you come to it fresh with no background. But I think that when you finish the game, it'll make you want to go back and finish the first one. Like, it made me want to go back and finish my first one, my Gears game. But then I decided to trade it in so I could buy a DSi. But that's beside the point. Clockwise or counterclockwise?
I think you should go counter.
Hey, what do you want me to do?
Because that goes backwards in time, and then eventually you'll look to go find it, and it'll be gone.
Gotcha. I'm with you. But with some games, I don't think that you're necessarily harmed by not playing the first one. And sometimes it's even better. Like, there are some places, depending upon where you jump into Tenchu, that you're better off not playing the game that came before. But just don't take any shit off of anybody. Just, you can let people know, hey, I didn't really buy into the hype that went around with the first one. decided with the second one that maybe I might be a little bit wrong, so I picked it up and I'm enjoying the heck out of it. I may or may not go back to pick up the first one. Anybody that really gets on your case too awful long about it is just a douche.
Okay, then. You hear that, douche? Because I know you listen. Douche. You're being a douche. Douche.
Have you said that enough?
I'm done, yes.
Are you sure you don't want to get one more in there? There you go. You feel better now?
I do.
Okay. But I just think that it's really interesting, you know, with Bootleg's question, how we're both completely on opposite sides of the deal. Like, when I try to think of Japanese RPG games on the next consoles, the only things that come to my mind that I would even consider playing or picking up are the Final Fantasy 11 and up. Actually, I'm still kind of on the fence about 13. And Lost Odyssey. Really. I mean, I know Blue Dragon's there. And Alright, I'm going to admit it. I love Dragon Ball Z.
Oh my god, it's the fuck up of a movie!
Okay, now, hold on. I'm going to couch that with manga. Dragon Ball. Not okay. Anime. Certainly not the movie.
Certainly not.
But I've always enjoyed the manga. And, love that style of character, but I did not find myself enjoying Blue Dragon. And so if I try really hard to now think of some other Japanese-based RPG, I really have a hard time doing that. Whereas I can think of, you know, Mass Effect, then you got Oblivion, then you've got Fallout, then, I mean, you can think of a bunch of other titles that have RPG elements, action RPG titles. There's just a lot that comes to mind. I mean, speaking to whether or not it's the new standard, the evidence that I can give you that I think that it's kind of shipping that, or shifting that way, I should say, is that Square Enix this week announced a new game called Order of War, which is a World War II real-time strategy game. But it was developed in the West. They actually partnered with Wargaming.net to create this PC title that's going to hit in the fall. And I just think that that speaks a lot to how things are trending. I can't imagine, you know, if you talked to me about 3 years ago about Square, that they would have partnered with somebody and come up with an entirely new intellectual property that would be driven, designed, and owned completely by Western partners. I wouldn't have imagined that. I would have said that you were on crack.
Maybe they are on crack.
I also wouldn't have said that there would be so many English people on the board at Nintendo. So I think that things are definitely trending towards more of a Western-based feel, because I think still, we are the more valued market, the more higher prized market that developers want to go after. So I do see a Western trend. Whether that's good or bad, I don't know. What do you think?
Wait, so we're back at Pete's question.
Yeah. Come back around now.
I know. I'm coming around the corner.
Come around the corner.
And, I mean, I don't feel I have enough experience with Western RPGs to really say much on it, really.
Because well, let me ask you this question.
I've played are Japanese.
Let me ask you this question. When was the last time that you played an RPG on either your Wii or your Xbox 360?
I played the very horrible Enchanted Arms. Oh my god, was that horrible. And that was, it's been a while. I mean, my Lost Odyssey I'm actually lending out. So,
did you finish it before you lent it out?
No, I'm on the last disc, though. And he's about to finish with it, and then I'm going to get it back and finish it like bam, because I'm awesome like that. But, I mean, I really loved Lost Odyssey. I absolutely loved it, and it was far more text-based than the RPGs that I'm used to. But is it the first type of game that like I'll personally go and seek out when I'm like I magically have enough money to buy a game? No.
Gotcha.
So, but I mean, I like them, but I don't like them like them.
Gotcha. So Pete, thanks for the question and the inspiration. Now let's dig into the rest of the show.
Yay!
So first up for me, and then I have one we can talk about together. Yay!
Yay!
To finally put an end to everything, in Ninja versus Pirates, Ninja wins.
And wait, Ninja wins?
Ninja wins.
Versus?
Pirates.
No.
Yeah, you want to know why?
No.
Pirate Bay El Fucksword. Ninja Video, still alive.
Yeah, but what about the fact that you could finally be a pirate in real life and it could be a reliable job?
Guess what? No, pirates.
You can't be a ninja, but now pirates.
I can totally be a ninja. I'm a ninja every day. I sneak around all the time. You don't know how many people.
I'm a pirate, and that's why there's no rum in the house.
Well, no, you're an alcoholic, and that's why there's no rum in the house.
Fuck you. It's not true.
Truth burns, doesn't it? Ah, where's the gin?
I don't know, that's the gin.
Where's the gin? Panda had it. That's all I have to say. Where's the gin? Locate Panda, you'll find the gin. Or at
I'm
least
curled up with it.
What's
with,
left
with
of
a,
it.
With a giant straw. Love my gin. I see.
Not drink gin through a straw.
Yikes!
Ugh. But seriously, Pirate Bay, they lost the copyright infringement suit. So the founders basically got struck with a year in jail and about $3.6 million in fines. But I gotta say, these guys have such a great sense of humor because if you go to the site, there's a little note that says, "Don't worry, we're from the internets. It's going to be all right."
It's going to be all right.
So, you know, you gotta love that.
Don't panic.
They've got a neat sense of humor. Is that going to help them?
No. Probably not.
Probably not. I mean, first of all, if you're going to create a resource to help people find torrents and then download them, which we all know, 'tis illegal, you shouldn't first call yourself the Pirate Bay. That's mistake-o numero uno, because that's going to piss off a lot of people, like the ESA, the MPAA, different internet providers. People are not going to be happy, because piracy is a huge, huge deal over in Europe. Like here, you know, it gets Jack Valeni and all those guys and gets their undies in a knot and things like that, but, you know,
their man panties in a bunch.
But you don't really see, like, people getting their houses busted, the door down, and the cops are infiltrating like SWAT and, you know, grabbing computers in the middle of the night and things like that. But piracy is a big problem, and it's wrong. I mean, let's face it, people. Y'all know damn well you didn't make it, you didn't pay for it, you should not be downloading it. So let's be clear about that, okay? It is stealing. Bootlegging, whatever you want to call it, it's stealing.
Yeah.
Okay? And it's wrong. There's a lot of people that worked really hard to make either that piece of software. Granted, the company that's probably selling that is charging a massive markup and things like that. But you know what? People worked really hard to make that stuff. They should be compensated. Okay? Let's all be and agree on that. I think personally that the whole argument of that it takes away from the art itself is bullshit. Just come correct and say what it is. Like, I would have had so much more respect for Metallica when they came out against Napster and MP3s if they were like, "Look, we worked really hard to make these albums. We know that we encourage you guys when you come to our concerts to take them and things like that, but these are exact duplicates of CDs. This is really going to bite into our business, and we want to make sure that you guys are getting the right stuff. We have no idea if any of this content that's going out there, if it's been modified in any way, if there are viruses attached to it, and it's just not safe. So we're going to find a way to come up with a better digital distribution, and we need you to be patient for that." If they had said that, I would have been like, okay, cool, Metallica's trying to keep viruses off my machine. I'm gonna stay away from the downloads. And Sarah was like, it's wrong! It's illegal! I'm like, shut up, Lars Ulrich. Same thing happens with torrents. I think that part of the reason why everyone is so attracted to BitTorrent is because we've become an on-demand, instant gratification, digital downloading, consuming, mass socialistic group. I mean, it's ridiculous. Like, I live on Twitter. If you would have asked me
yes,
a year
I know
ago,
you live on Twitter.
I do. I will converse with people more through Twit because most of my emailing that I would do were short little messages anyway. It's very rare that I write a big long message in email. It's usually a reply to a question or setting something up, and you know, basically my conversations were the length of text messaging. So Twitter was just like, okay, well now we can direct those a little bit better. Oh! But I think that part of the reason why piracy has become such an issue is because as a group, we just want it. Now we want it easy. The catalog is huge, and the ease of use is ridiculous. I can set up a client, see how many people make the file available, I can just set things up and go to sleep, and by the time I wake up in the morning, the entire file is there. So I think that if you really want to combat piracy here in the U.S. as it pertains to TV and film, because as far as software piracy, that's a whole other bag of worms to me. I think that you really need to kind of get out of this forest for the trees outlook where it's, rather than focusing on the individual or the group, make a better system. I mean, because MP3, music bootlegging, was huge for a while. And what's really killed it? The advent of easy-to-use online purchasing methods. Whether it's Amazon's method, whether it's the Zune method, whether it's iTunes, doesn't matter. If you make a system where the content is there, it's easy to get to for a fair fee, people will prefer to do that from a reseller or a seller that they can trust more than just a blanket hole in the internet that says that they have the file. So I think if you do the same thing for video, that you'll be successful. Like, I'm very impressed with what Hulu has turned into.
I love Hulu.
Okay. I think that there still needs to be a little bit better interface for it, and there are definitely some applications out there, both on the PC and the Mac side, that allow you to access those streams and bring them in full screen and do the fast forwarding. I think that the amount of commercials that they show is just about balanced for the length of content that you have. I don't like things like Vimeo where it's like every 5 seconds you've got something interrupting the video that you're watching. So I think that if you continue in the vein of creating things like a Hulu, where you can still show your ads, you can still make your ad revenue as far as a provider, but the content is easy to get to for both your Mac users, your PC users, your Linux users across the board, that you will see less and less bootlegging of TV and video content. I mean, I can't remember, in all honesty, I can't remember the last time I ever thought of torrenting something.
I don't torrent things.
Well, it's a good thing not to do. I mean, when it first came out and they were having a hard time tracking down people, I'm not gonna lie. But between Hulu, Vimeo, 4 On Demand, and then my PVR system and iTunes, I haven't had to bootleg anything because I've been able to get my hands on legitimately everything I wanted to see. I mean, like, one of the things I wanted to talk with you about, I watched completely on Hulu the other day, Peach Girl, which is an anime series.
Wow. Flipping the scripts. You're talking anime and I'm the one talking games.
I know. We're just kind of doing a ooh, 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 ooh.
It's like, haha, you thought you knew what we do here.
Yeah.
But you don't. And you knew people who are like, whoa, I've never heard Panda talk about games. Well, guess what? I am.
It's like a Freaky Friday up in this bitch.
Yeah. Except we're not mother and daughter.
No, we're sister.
Yeah, and sister.
So, we'll but I said, that's why I said like. It's not exactly. Right. It's like.
Gotcha.
But I watched the entire series of Peach Girl on Hulu.
Hulu!
My poor laptop. She got a little warm. I had to let her cool off. But it was really great because I was able to knock it out in an afternoon just like I'm used to knocking out my DVD collections. and the quality was great. I was able to watch it in full screen. I only had to deal with two commercial breaks. Granted, the commercials had absolutely nothing to do with any of the content. Like, the majority of the commercials were for, like, Ace Hardware, which was really funny. Or at least I think it's funny. For an anime like Peach Girl, because... Well, Panda, why don't you explain what the premise is of Peach Girl? Because I know that you've watched it before.
Oh, it's been a while. Anyway, to break it down, you've got... Well, see, it's really weird because the main girl isn't exactly, you know, just a regular girl. You know, she's very tan. There are girls over in Japan who tan their skin so that they're darker. They used to be slightly gang-related. They have, like, a gang-like mentality. But anyway, so this girl's really, really dark because she likes to swim.
Yeah, she's a great swimmer.
She's a great swimmer. Momo. Yeah. And everyone kind of gives her a bad rep because, oh, she's really dark, and they think she's a part of this gang, and, you know, people just kind of leave her alone. And she's got this one friend, Sai, who isn't really her friend.
No, Sai is a bitch.
But actually, if you read the manga of it, you actually figure out why Sai is a bitch. And she's actually got really good reason. It has nothing to do with Momo.
I don't care. Sai is a bitch.
Anyway, Momo is madly in love with, I can't remember his name
Toji.
Now. Toji. You know, and Toji's kind of the quiet, I like sports, but he's very respectable. I mean, girls would have a reason to have a crush on this guy. But she doesn't say anything because, A, she doesn't want anyone to know, and B, Sai's kind of, you know, that kind of girl who would tell everybody. You know, like, you keep her close because you don't want her running her mouth.
Yeah.
But, you know, one day Sai's prying, and Momo goes, oh, well, I like that guy. And she happens to point at, like, the biggest player in their class,
Kyrie,
who's a pretty boy, and Sai instantly tries to, like, get with Kyrie so that Momo can't have him. So you can already tell what kind of girl she is. But obviously, she doesn't really have a thing for Kyrie because she really likes Toji, but then Sai finds out that she likes Toji, and then she manages to get Toji, and Kyrie starts to get feelings for Momo for real. And, I mean, it's a lot of, oh, I love you. No, I think I love you. I really don't understand my life.
Yes. So, and
it's really kind of.
Basically, the way it works
out drama.
Is it's a twist, kind of, on a Midsummer Night's Dream.
Yep.
Okay.
That's really reaching, though.
As far as the main setup, he loves her, she loves him. And the two guys are only after the one girl.
One girl. None of them like Sai.
Okay. So in basic setup, it's like A Midsummer Night's Dream. And then it completely goes off on this tangent. So that's one of the reasons why I started watching it. Because when I was cycling through all the anime stuff that's available through Hulu, this was the first one, which is down at the bottom of the list. Because for some reason I always start Z and work my way back up to A. I don't know. I'm weird like that. But it was one of the first ones that I saw where instantly the lead character I thought was cute. Because she was darker, I was like, ooh, wait a minute. Why is this dark chick with kind of peachy color hair here? Let me check this out. And what was really interesting to me is how emotional through the series it gets.
Oh, God.
Like, It just seems like it's just go, 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 high pace all the time. Like, at one point, Momo is trying to let Toji know just how much of a lying backstabber that Sai is. And she's been doing...
Sai.
Yeah, whatever. And she's been doing such a really good job of playing the victim that Toji takes her side while he's in the hospital. And so in order to get his attention,
she's willing
Momo
to throw herself out of
the
window.
And it's like, if you don't listen to me, I'm going to jump out of this window. And she's like crying, and everybody in the hospital room is just looking at this chick like, she's going to drop. Like,
you know, it's
jump.
Really funny because when that part happened, I was staring at my TV and I said, jump.
Yeah, I was kind of like, you know what? End everybody's misery. Just jump out the window. It's an anime. You'll come back in another episode. You know, she comes back in, they wind up having a fight, they don't end up together. Then they go through all kinds of mishigas, and Kyrie really, 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 I think, falls for Momo in the moment where she thinks or realizes that Toji's not going to love her anymore. She has, like, this breakdown on his shoulder, and he realizes it's not a joke. Like, she's not playing. She doesn't just have a crush. She's really in love
really
with him.
Really in love.
And it really hurts his feelings that she's so sad. Like, that's one moment in the series where I'm like, oh, this was really a poignant moment. Okay, maybe I'll stick with it. So I keep on with the series, and it just gets loonier and loonier. At one point...
And then you find Kyrie who's madly in love with the fucking school nurse.
Yeah. It's just weird.
And he's her first love, and he knows that he loves Momo, but he doesn't love her as much as he loves the nurse, and he really can't be with her because he can't get over the nurse. And then he finally gets over the nurse, but it's way too late. Can you tell I actually really enjoy the drama?
Yeah, it's just like, it's like a telenovela.
Oh, it is. It totally
is. It's just drama, 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 drama. No break. There's a moment where... Sai gets her comeuppance, and the entire school finds out that she's been lying and that she's just a conniving bitch. And Kyrie brings in a bunch of other girls that she'd pretty much done the same thing with, and the whole school turns on her. And she gets so deflated that literally she's like paper thin.
Yep.
For a whole episode, and just walks around. Nobody talks with her or anything like that, and she's just paper thin. And she then becomes kind of Momo's servant and is trying to, you know, be accepted. So she gets her shoes and follows her around and things like that. And they end up going out someplace. And I forget why, but some photographer sees Momo and is like, I want to take pictures. And then he winds up taking pictures of Sai. And then they end up in this photo shoot inside of a TV studio or something. And there's this world famous model. And the model thinks that Momo is the bitch and not Sai.
Yeah, and he wants to help Sai, you know, get back at Momo.
So he pretends to be her boyfriend, but then he actually falls for Sai, but Sai doesn't care because she's still scheming on getting Toji back. And I'm just like,
but she doesn't even really want Toji. She just wants Toji so that Momo can't have him.
And the thing that kills me is that at the end of the anime series, or at least the arc that I watched, it winds up with Momo eventually getting over Toji and falling for Kyrie.
Yeah, she does.
And Kyrie equally falling for Momo.
So wait, did you even watch the whole part where he tells her about how he's in love with the nurse?
Yeah.
Yeah, because at the very... Yeah, that's the end of the... That's the whole series as it is thus far, yeah. That's how it ends. They fall in love, for real.
For realsies.
For reals.
And I'm just like, really? That's how we're going to end the drama? Really? With them planting a peach tree and kissing?
I thought that part was actually kind
of
cute.
After all of this people
drama,
getting
the only thing you have to set, the only thing you have for it is a tree.
Is a little tree. We're going to grow a peach tree.
Yep.
Okay. I just found it so annoying that, like, in this series, every female on the planet hates Momo.
Yeah.
I was just like, really? Really? Like, the one chick
that meets up... It's because she's different.
Oh, you know what? Ooh la 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 la.
But I liked Momo, actually.
Because there was a swim team at her school, and I was like, really? And those bitches aren't dark? What the hell?
I know, none of them are. And, like, at one point, she's trying to stay out of the sun because someone had told her that Toji didn't like girls who were too dark.
And it winds up being a bitch that was lying to her.
Yeah.
She's like,
well, he
yeah.
did say that, you know, he didn't want someone who was artificially, I think is what he said. You know, but he knew that she was always out in the sun, and that's why, and he actually didn't mind that she was at all.
Yeah. But then this chick comes up, you know, like, in the middle of the day, I was like, yeah, since you have a boyfriend and all, I guess it's okay that I tell you this, but remember that time that I told you that Toji didn't like girls that were really dark tan? Yeah, he didn't say that. I kind of said it because I had a crush on him and I wanted him to be by myself. But you have a boyfriend now, so you're not crushing him anymore, so it's okay. And I was like, really? I would have punched that bitch in the face. I just thought, for a series that had so much potential, it went so over the top and so overly dramatic that by the end I was just like, okay, I just got to get through these episodes so I can get to the end. Like, it wasn't that I was enjoying it. I just felt that I'd spent so much time invested in getting to this point that I just had to finish it. It was like a marathon. My body ached. I wanted to puke, but I just kept pushing myself to do it.
Wow.
Yeah. So I give Peach Girl a 1.
Oh, see, I liked the drama.
I like drama, but damn.
Well, I mean, at the time that I started watching it, like, everything I was looking at looked exactly the same. And this was so different from all the things I was watching, so I was like, all right. So, but I mean, I wouldn't watch it now. Like, even though it's in my wall and I'm staring at it, if I went to go pick something up right now to watch, it would not be Peach Girl. It actually probably would be Loveless. But that's just me.
I like Loveless, though.
I love Loveless! What are you talking about?
But see, Loveless was cute. It wasn't just drama for drama's sake.
There was drama in Loveless, too.
Yeah, but it wasn't just drama for drama's sake. Like, I think in a lot of episodes in Peach Girl, it was just drama for inventing drama.
Yeah.
Like, how much really can you cry? First of all, that bitch would have been dehydrated.
Yeah.
She cried so much, like, she could have filled up a 4-foot pool.
Yeah.
She cried so much. Really, there was no episode where she wasn't at least crying 35% of the time. Minimum. Crying because she was happy. Crying because Kyrie bought her a dress. Crying because Toshi looked at her wrong. Crying because she thought she got raped by
the guy.
Crying because Sei looked just like her and Toji was macking on her. Crying because Toji felt bad that he kissed on her. Crying because Kyrie set up basically a
Did you hate the episode where Momo wouldn't leave outside of Toji's house?
Oh, you know,
like she was a dog.
Well, yeah,
I actually cried at that part.
I didn't cry. I was just like, "Bitch, respect yourself. It's snowing. Get your ass inside."
Text message him.
Just send text. Blow up his phone. Don't get a cold and sit out in the snow. Just to have that motherfucker come out and just chuck pictures at you. That pissed me off. I was like, really?
I know, right? He could have been like, at least, you know.
Look, there's no dude on the planet. I don't care how pissed off you are at a girl for not leaving you alone. That you wouldn't have called a cab and just like, look, get out of the snow. Don't be stupid.
Well, I don't know.
I don't want to be with you. I don't want to be with you. But don't be stupid and stay out all night in the snow. But no. Toshi just shuts the door and she's like, well, I'm saving her. The reason why I'm being this way is because there's a picture of her and that guy. Whoop-de-fucking-doo. Sai's gonna go to the press and be like, oh, look at this. She's such a whore. You know what? At that point, I'd be like, look, tell them that. Go right on ahead. I really don't care, you dirty bitch. But instead, he breaks her heart because of a picture. Really? Sorry.
Right.
Peach Girl gets a 1.
Okay.
But you know what does not get a 1? You know it gets a 10? The upcoming Beatles Rock Band game. Did you see what the special edition is finally going to be? First of all, people, you can start pre-ordering. I'm going to pre-order mine. I've said it before. I really mean it. I'm going to do it this week. Because even though I have an awesome set of drums, because I have the Iron Drum Rocker drums, I will find somebody to give, maybe even one of you wonderful listeners, the set of drums that's going to come in the pre-order kit. Because I got to have it. Do you know?
She's got to have it.
I do. Do you know what's going to be in it? In the limited edition?
No.
Okay. So, obviously, you're going to get the game.
Yes.
Okay. You're going to get the Hofner bass controller, which is going to be a large-scale replica. So, not a mini one. It's going to be big size. The Ludwig branded drums with a pearl finish.
Ooh.
Yep. And a vintage replica. No ponies. But
puppies?
No puppies. A replica Beatles kick drum.
Cookies?
Head. No cookies. Listen, I'm talking.
Listen.
Hey.
Watch out.
A microphone.
Okay.
And a mic stand. And then some, quote-unquote, additional special content.
Ooh.
For the same price as... Well, we don't know yet. There's all kinds of rumors floating around.
Are they super mega awesome?
I said we don't know yet.
Well, I hope they're super mega awesome.
I'm sure it will be. Come on, it's Beatles branded game. What the fuck? Of course it's going to be awesome. The question is, what is it going to be? Is it going to be download content? Is it going to be one of those remastered albums that they're doing at the same time as the game release? Don't know. But 9909, gonna be a great day. the games dropping on all of the next-gen platforms at the same time. So it's going to be on the Xbox 360, the PlayStation 3, and the Wii all at the same time. The website's live. There's not a whole lot of content up there yet, but if you want to check it out, it's just thebeatlesrockband.com. Pre-order Nowzers.
Nows.
Nows with a Z. So that way you know that it's better.
It's better.
And then the last thing that I have is just an update to Street Fighter 4, which people may or may not be aware of, so I want to make sure that you are. But Capcom is bringing a new championship mode to expand the game that's going to offer players the chance to, quote-unquote, compete in tournaments and watch replays of the best tournament matches. Best of all, it's free.
The championship, free!
The championship mode update will be available for both PS3 and Xbox 360 owners on Friday, April 24th. No specific time of the day has been announced yet. But basically, the championship mode is tournament mode from any of the older Street Fighter games that you would have played, where you could go head-to-head and see if anybody could make it through the brackets to the final challenge. What's really interesting about this one is that you can watch people go through the brackets.
Oh.
And on the PS3 side, the replay mode lets you rate the matches that you do. So, using characteristics like the words awesome or funny or things like that. And then replays are ranked based on those votes. On the Xbox Live side, instead of rating the matches, you can choose to download and save your favorite replays to either learn other people's techniques or your own. And you'll even be able to turn on the input commands for both players. So, like, if you and I are playing and you completely whoop my ass and we're playing with the same character, I can turn on the input mode so I can see your timing and see what buttons that you're pressing. So I can either adapt to your play style or try to mimic it. So I think that that's really interesting in that it's just going to take the game to a completely new level, because now you're going to have a whole lot of people really getting serious about this game. Because now you're talking about training. It's basically a training camp. It's a training ground on top of the existing training ground. So not only can you learn the moves, but then you can...
I like the sound of that.
Yeah, and it's free.
Which
is good, because, you know, that's one of my more favorite words.
Oh, that's my favorite word.
When it comes to video game content, especially expanding...
I got to break free!
All right, well, I'm going to break free and give you the mic of a thousand truths, because that's pretty much all my news that you can use on the video game and anime front. Oh, with the exception of, if you haven't checked Major Nelson's blog, there's actually a contest that Microsoft is doing right now. If you, unlike us, weren't able to get into E3, they're actually doing a contest where you can win money, score an invite to the Microsoft press briefing at E3, get cash to be put up, and win one of those new Kia Souls. So if you haven't checked it out, make sure that you do. You can go to Major Nelson's blog, which is just majornelson.com, or you can check out the Xbox.com website, or even go to the marketplace and find the download and win option in the marketplace. But I would definitely suggest that if you're looking to score a way into E3, just might be the way to do it. Okay, so now I'm turning over the mic for 1,000 truths. That's really everything.
So,
what do you got for the people?
I know it was really funny that we were talking about playing, you know, a first game and then playing a sequel, or playing a sequel without playing a first game. And I'm actually going to be talking about a sequel to a game that I already own. So obviously I did this in chronological order.
Yay!
And this is more or less, this goes into my, you know, multiplayer, you know, this is the stuff that you play with friends, you play with family, and
your dog.
In my case, I play with mom.
Oh, yeah. Playing with mom.
Because the funny story is, I know I've talked about it before, I first did an overview of the game Scene It, Lights, Camera, Action.
Yep.
When we first got it, because the household pretty much erupted with
gaming glee. Yeah,
gaming glee. Ooh, GG.
Yeah.
I like that.
Thank you. came up with that. And we've
been, and Esh Mom and Hot Mess and I have been trying to find, you know, a game that would do the exact same thing.
Thought it was Peggle, turned out not to be.
Not so much Peggle. Then Mom brought Price is Right for the Wii, and that's just a fuck up the nostril. It's pathetic. Then she brought home Wii's Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader, which actually is kind of cool, sort of. But none of them gave us the same kind of thrill as Scenic did for the 360.
Right.
But there was a demo for Scenic Box Office Smash that I didn't have enough points for, that Esh Mom one day brought home.
Right.
Now, I was going out that night, so I couldn't play with them. So they played until the next day. And then when I came home, we played it together. Because, you see, the thing with Esh Mom and Hot Mess is I usually whoop them. In
right,
lights, camera,
because,
action.
You know...
Because, for one, there's a lot of movies that I've watched.
Right.
And B, there a lot of things, you know, like the little child pictures that are supposed to explain movies and stuff, I get them faster.
Right. The kid
so
picks
awesome.
One.
Yeah. So, you know, so after a while,
you
know,
just
they
say, because I'm awesome?
Because I'm awesome.
Okay, I just wanted to
and,
make sure.
And Esh Mom and Hot Mess really didn't like it. Like, they wanted to play with me, but they really
they
didn't like
they wanted to
that.
Handicap you.
Yeah, you know, and it got to a point where I didn't want to play because they're always just like, "Ah, oh, Pandalicious, you know, don't you have a fucking life? How do you know all these movies?"
And you're like, "Yes, it's because I have a life that I've been out and I've seen these movies, and so I know what they are."
So anyway, so they decided they were like, "Oh, well, if, you know, the night that they bought seen it Box Office Smash, that." You know, oh, well, she won't get to play, so she will have a better chance of memorizing some of these before we play with me. Before they play with me. And believe it or not, I actually didn't win because, you know, obviously I had one day less training than they did.
Right.
But, so, I mean, and I really enjoyed the game. They've actually upped this sequel by allowing it to feature your Xbox Live avatar.
Okay.
So... You know, if you're, and you can play it on Xbox Live with other friends. So then whoever you're playing with over Xbox, you know, they can use their actual avatar, you know, and you pretty much, you know, your avatar sits on a couch. There are three rounds and then a final round. And, you usually go through different genres. I think they choose what genre for a round. And then the final round is a movie clip that you have to pay attention to.
Can you still use the buzzers from the first Scenic game?
Yes, you can. You do not, yep. You do not need to get any new,
buzzers.
Peripherals. I wanted to use a big word. Peripherals.
Buzzer.
Buzzer. That even Esh Mom still doesn't
quite know how to
it's
work.
It's a fucking buzzer. But anyway.
She gets confused.
Love you, Esh Mom.
She always just wants to hit the big red button
she
and
does.
Doesn't realize.
Like, or she'll hit it. She'll be like, I hit it really fast. I'm like, we hit it faster than you.
She has a hard time with that concept.
She does. She does. But
that's okay. We love Esh Mom.
You know, and they've obviously stepped up how it looks. You know, it's a lot more interactive.
Okay.
And it's definitely, I really do like this genre game. I mean, if they come out with even more, because I mean, there's a lot of movies out there. So yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if I see this branch out into, you know, Seen It, you know, not Box Office Smash, but, you know, like romance or, you know, something that's all romantic comedies or all action or all from, like, a span of so many years.
There's all kinds of fodder. I mean, look at how many different America Film Institute classic collections that they put on. AFI does all kinds of movie collections each year. AFI's top 100 Westerns of the last 20 years or the last 50 years. So I think that there's probably a lot of fodder. You probably will see with the success of these.
And I certainly hope so because I mean the Scenic games, they test you in so many different ways. You know, you can either watch a clip and then answer questions or they will do the credits. They'll roll the credits. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you could get the most random credit for a movie, and it becomes more and more prevalent as the time runs out, because then by the time even you answer right, you probably won't get a lot of points.
So let me ask you this. Who do you think that these kinds of games are really marketed to? Because that's one thing that I've really been trying to put my finger on, is who's Seen It really for? Because it's not a family game in a mom, dad, and, you know, 8-year-old kids?
Well, the two that are out now, I would not say that these games are geared towards younger children. Now, I mean, if they did a scene at Disney.
Right.
Or like a scene at, you know, kid, you know, like a kid based, then I could see it being a family game. Because then obviously all the parents have seen it because they had to drag their kids to see it.
Right.
I would say that this is like a middle school, because most middle school.
So we're going preteen or teen?
Preteen to adult game, because little kids would not get this. I mean, they might look at like the kid picks one, you know, but they wouldn't know the answers.
Well, like, I mean, it killed me when we played, and nobody in the room except for me can answer the Breakfast Club question. So that's why I asked, like, who do you really... I'm not sure that they really know who exactly their audience
is.
Yeah.
I know that on the covers and stuff, it says, like, 12 plus, which is essentially preteens.
Yeah.
And I think they do that because of some of the content of, say, some of the movie clips or even some of the audio clips.
Not that there are any dirty words. They
no,
don't allow any dirty
they're actually,
words.
It's extremely tasteful, but there are some things that obviously you would expect a child of 8 to not have watched.
Right.
Versus a child of, you know, 12 or 13 who's probably snuck and watched something anyway.
Right.
And then you might have, you know, those, you know, younger kids who might just be the indie kind who have gone back and watched older movies. Like, I think it was really funny because I know I'd never seen the movie, I think it's Broadcast News. I don't know if you know the
what?
Movie, but I never watched it. And the funny thing was, in the final, in one of the finals, it was a clip from that movie. And, you know, and I didn't know it, obviously. You know, and Esh mom kind of lit up a little bit because she knew it. You know, and Hot Mess and I didn't know. And I still managed to answer all of the questions right through, you know,
deductive reasoning.
Because I'm fucking awesome.
Because you got your edumacation.
You know, though, I mean, the last time we played it, I think the final round was actually one of the ending scenes from Ever After, you know, the retelling of Cinderella.
Yep.
And
which,
it was funny.
Which, by the way, made me believe that Drew Barrymore could be a badass, which is why I was so disappointed in the Charlie's Angels movies. Please continue.
And it was, you've seen Ever After, right?
Of course.
So you know at the end when Angelica is about to sell her to that really creepy guy, you know, and she's like, you know, and she's like, you've won, you know, just leave this manor and leave us alone, and that whole, you know, oh, I really wanted you to be like a mother, blah blah blah, that whole scene, you know.
Yeah.
So as the scene starts to play, I say the whole scene verbatim. Like just blah. I mean, diarrhea of the mouth. Like I didn't miss a beat. And Esh mom and Paul look hot mess. Look at each other, and they go, "We're screwed." and then hot mess is like, "You have no life." And I'm like, "What? I liked the movie.
It was a good movie. I mean,
it was.
You know, the thing that I think a lot of people don't get, and I think that it speaks a lot to, you know, the question that we were answering last week about catching hell, basically for being a geek about one thing or another." I mean, that diarrhea of the mouth was you just geeking out over a movie
that
you really
enjoyed.
It was
totally me geeking out.
I mean, there are people that quote Star Trek movies, Star Wars movies, Westerns that they really enjoyed, John Wayne movies, that kind of stuff, just because they really, truly enjoyed it and it, you know, sticks with them. Like, I quote the movie Airplane almost on a daily basis.
Oh, there's an Airplane clip. In the second scene, it.
See, I would smoke it because I watched that there movie.
What was the sequel called? Do you remember? That was one of the questions. I got that one wrong. It's like, what is the sequel to Airplane? And I'm like, I don't know. What's it?
I didn't watch the sequel.
Okay. I just thought I'd ask and see if you knew.
I'm gonna
but
go
anyway,
with Airplane
it's too. Really fun. This is totally
That's
something that
guess.
You could play with four people up in your house for a movie night. You know, you could totally have like a movie night themed party and have this be something that can be going on.
Oh yeah, I did that with the previous Scenic game. We started out the evening with Rock Band, ran through the whole catalog, and then broke up into teams made some food and got, you know, very competitive over the scenic game.
So, but I mean, it's totally something that you could play in the house with the fam, essentially 12 and up. It's totally something that you could play with your friends because most likely you've all watched all the movies that they could ever throw at you in this game. Because I actually think there's a scene at Pirates, I think. Or it's a trivia-based game about pirates where you see clips and stuff about... And It's only about the pirate movies.
Yep.
And I don't have that one. I've never played it, but friends of mine have. So, I mean, so they're probably going to do different genres of them, I would expect. And I will probably own all of them. And probably will do amazing in all of them. Because I heart movies.
I think I
really liked this series of game because I really like movies and I really like games and I like to answer questions.
Yeah, trivia is a big thing. I mean, we grew up when you were little, doing Trivial Pursuit in the kitchen with mom and dad.
I couldn't play Trivial Pursuit now.
You were putting pie wedges into things just upside down, getting them stuck all the time. You put one up your nose. That was funny as hell. Well, I thought it was funny as hell.
Well, I bet you did.
Mom and Dad didn't think it was funny at all. But I thought it was funny as shit. You know, so I think that anything that brings a group of people together that allows them to enjoy being together is a good thing. Whether that's a board game, an electronic-based game, doesn't matter. As long as it brings people together and fun's had, that's what's cool. That's what's up. So, if you were going to rate it,
I would give it a fucking 5.
Well, damn.
I love it. I'm probably going to play it after we're done recording.
Sweet.
Because I love it so much. Oh. And I love seeing my avatar on the couch.
I was going to invite you to play games with me.
Oh. Sorry.
Because, you know, I have to game. It is in my blood.
Right.
Speaking
Sorry.
Of which, last piece, and then I guess we can probably... Uh-oh. Down in front.
Tangent.
Yes.
Tangent. Yes. Everybody, you got to go up onto YouTube and you need to search.
Don't say Yu-Gi-Oh! On a bridge because
no,
I will slap you through the internet.
I'm not going to say Yu-Gi-Oh! The Abridged series, though. You should probably have done that anyway. It's called, you have to look up, A Day in the Life of a Turret. You have to watch this.
Oh, God.
It is so fucking awesome. I watch it every day because if I don't, I feel like the world has tilted on the other side of its axis and we're all going to die.
Really? That's how
yes.
this YouTube video makes you feel.
That's yes.
Okay.
If you've played Portal, it's about these two turrets that are in the Portal game, and it's just a day in their lives, and they talk about really really funny things. You will find it humorous, and those of you who don't, you have no funny bone. You don't. And
then we're, I'm not going to touch that. I'm not going to touch that. I'm going to leave that alone.
But anyway, that's it.
Okay. Well, last thing before we go, there was an interesting article that Evermore actually came across on CNBC and shot over to me about GameStop and one of the things that they've asked the industry for. The CEO, Dan DiMatteo, basically says that the consoles cost too much and that if the industry is going to still or continue to be recession-proof, that it needs to happen, especially when it comes to the PS3, because Sony waited too long on the PS2 to do the price cut, and that's pretty much what killed most of the development for the PS2, although if you ask Altus, no, that hasn't happened. They're still coming out with new titles for the PS2, but at $399, the CEO of GameStop says the PS3 is too expensive. And I agree. I mean, it's a great Blu-ray player, and don't get me wrong, it's a good system. There's a lot of great potential there. And I think that once it gets into the hands of more people, and Sony gets more feedback, it'll grow into the system it's supposed to be. The Xbox 360 was not a great system off of the get-go. But as it got more and more in the hands of people, and they started giving feedback, it started growing into what it is now. It's still not the best system on the planet, but it does have, out of the three systems, the better multiplayer online experience, the better social experience, the better digital content experience. And tree out of tree ain't bad. But there is a rumor, and Sony has said, and it's all believed, that there is going to be an announcement of a price drop on the PS3 during E3. What nobody's sure of yet is if it's just going to be a $50 or $100 price drop.
$50 is nothing.
Well, I mean, that happens more often than not. You've got things that go from the $99 price point to the $49 price point. So you have things drop from $199 to $149.
Right.
And goes, hey, that's better, because 4 is smaller than 9.
It is, by 5.
Yeah, which is a lot. But,
well,
you know.
Yes.
Of course, the $100 price drop would be better. I think that if you made the PS3 and released it at the $299 price point so that its competitors are in the same ballpark, because now you're looking at $249 on the Wii side, and you're looking at $199 to $299, depending upon how you tweak it out, on the Xbox 360 side, that it is more competitive. And you throw in the fact that it has the Blu-ray player, where neither of its competitors currently have high definition content other than download, and the Wii doesn't even have high def content. Sony could really swing this thing around. I mean, you'd have a bunch of people that would be interested in buying a $299 Blu-ray player that they could also play God of War on.
I know, I would.
Just throwing it out there. You need a job first.
I know.
You gotta work on that.
You know what?
Here's what I'm gonna say. Sony, if the CEO of GameStop is telling you that you really need the price drop so that you can stay competitive, you might really want to start leaning more towards that $100 discount than the $50 discount. I'm just sharing, Sony. I've already bought mine. You already got my money. Okay?
You ain't got my money, but I got
my money. I did a whole bundle deal when the thing came out, so I paid over $700 for my thing because I got it and an extra controller and a bunch of games. You got my money. I haven't taken it back. I don't intend on taking it back, but, you know, I ain't buying Pandalicious a PS3.
I didn't tell you to.
I did the Xbox.
I know.
I did the hard drive.
I know.
I did some gold.
Did I fucking tell you to get me a PS3? No.
I'm just saying, you're going to have to get a hold of it, because God of War 3 is coming, and I know you're going to want to play it.
Bite me.
What? You don't want to play it?
No, I do. I just want to talk about it. Don't talk about it.
All right, you know what I will talk about?
Our website?
Yeah, www.electricsisterhood.com, people. Make sure that you check us out, and you can use the short address, which is
esh.mobi. That's esh.mobi. The short address will bounce you to the long one, and you can check out all the articles that we've written within that week. If you have any questions about those articles, or just questions for us, you can use the Hit Us Up link. If you're not listening to us on iTunes, you can check us out there. You can plug us into any RSS reader, any podcast search engine, and we're also a part of the All Games Network.
That's right. You can find episodes of the ESH podcast airing on the All Games Radio Network, found at allgames.com, on Monday nights, 9:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Pacific Time. You can check us out, as well as some really entertaining shows like Super Happy Fun Time Show,
Dead Pixel Live,
Ultimate Quest,
Evil Avatar,
Bobby Black Wolf Show,
and Friday Night Gaming,
Video Game Outsiders,
and
Chatterbox. I mean,
yeah.
There's all kinds of great stuff there. So make sure that you check us out, you check them out, and when you do, and you bounce around the forums or the community, let them know that the chicks from Electric Sisterhood sent you.
Because we did.
We did. So, you know, spread the good word that is Esh across the land. So with that, I guess I'm going to have to call this podcast toast.
Yep, it's toast.
So what are you going to do with your toast?
I am going to...
That was awfully dramatic.
What am I going to do with it? I'm going to put it on Harper's Island and see if it gets killed next week. I'm actually really enjoying Harper's Island. I really am.
I worry about you, sister. I really
do. Do you even know what it is?
Yeah, I know what it is.
All right, just...
I, you know, watch the TV occasionally. I'm familiar. As soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, it's like Knott's Landing, but people die.
No, it's based off of the old Agatha Christie book, yes. 10 Little Indians.
Yes, I know. I read 10 Little Indians, actually.
Yeah, but it's, you know, obviously
before
not a judge.
Before you could even read.
Shut the up.
Well, I'm just going to take my toast and put some peanut butter on it.
And then smush it in Evermore's face?
No.
Oh.
No, because that would be hot, melty peanut butter. And you don't put
not
that.
Not hot. It'd be warm, melted peanut
not
butter.
Not the way I toast my toast.
How do you toast your toast?
I like my toast almost Cajun.
Holy shit.
I like it toasted to the point where, like, 3 more seconds and it'd be blackened. I don't like my toast flimsy. I like it fucking toasted.
Okay.
So, I like
that. I think we're done here.
I think we are. So, as always, I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And we are out.
Bye!
Peace!
We're out!
Bye.
Me? I hate you.
Tee-hee!